pay close heed to my every word.
Episode 387, I'm Matt Durson.
Clay Inferno.
Well, Clay, it's been about, several hours.
12 hours.
12 hours or so, I guess, since we last spoke. But, good time, good hang last night at the old BUR City Space.
Yeah, that was fun. One Bad Mother was in town, Teresa Thorne.
Yeah.
And, it was a great time. Max fun time. We had the maximum amount of fun.
I think we did. We had the yes, a max fun time. It's a gay old time, as the Flintstones used to say. I probably still do somewhere. I don't know. A yabba-doo time.
A gay old time is just not something that people say anymore.
No, it's true.
But like, I had to look something up. I went to see The Who at Fenway on Friday. I was telling you about, and there's this been a line in the song 5:15 on Quadrophenia that says apple scrumping. I was like, what the fuck is apple scrumping? What the hell does that mean? And it's like stealing somebody else's apples. Like, or taking apples after they fall out of the tree, but it's like not your tree. Like, taking it from somebody else is implied in the scrumping part.
Scrumping.
But that's
That is the apples actual scrumping. Word.
That's the actual word. And like, sometimes people are cool with it. They're like, yeah, go ahead and scrump my apples. They wouldn't say that, but you can give them,
they're allowed.
You know,
to scrump your
Know, like, what are we going to do with all of these apples? There's too many apples. Just take them. And then there's obviously like people that sell apples and other like people that are want to protect their property or like, you're not allowed to scrump my apples because I just want them to be, I want them to fall and be fertilizer or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, but
They're
so
my
that's
apples.
Like, those are my damn apples. You can't steal them. But since you're only stealing apples, it's not, you know. Not a huge
this
deal.
Song is called 5:15.
5:15. You probably would recognize the song. We would have played it on CLX when we were growing up. But anyways, I've always wondered what it was. And they played the song the other night, and I was like, what the fuck does that mean? And then I started listening to Pete Townsend's audiobook about his, it's kind of like his autobiography, and he reads it. And he talks about apple scrumping, and he would do it as a little kid. And then I went on a deep dive, like looking up, and there's all these like Guardian articles that are like, is it okay to scrump apples? Are you a scrumpa? You know, all this stuff. And like an Urban Dictionary, a regular dictionary post, because it's a real word, but like then the Urban Dictionary like version of it and all this stuff. It's a gay old time.
That's a gay old time. What about birthday punching? What is that all? You just punch someone on their birthday?
Birthday punching back on Lori. So you just
drag? Yeah, I looked up the lyrics because I was curious as well. See, this is what you do.
Well, I don't know. Have you ever seen the movie Quadrophenia? It's probably in that too.
No, never.
With Sting. Never. Sting plays the face. Sting plays like the basically like the Roger Daltrey character. It's like Tommy is kind of set in fantasy, and Quadrophenia is kind of set in like these beach towns in England where like the people on the scooters would get into fights with people in the leather jackets, the mods versus the rockers. So it's like this whole thing that like, it's like a rock opera. There's so much to it.
Wow.
But Sting is in the movie, and the movie is really good actually.
Oh, I had no idea you were such a Who fan.
Oh, they are absolutely my favorite band in the entire world.
What?
And I never thought I'd ever get a chance to see them.
Wow.
To me, like Bruce Springsteen is to you.
Sure.
Like The Who is my favorite.
Wow.
If I could only Desert Island Discs, if I could only have music of one band, I would have everything by The Who.
Is that how that works? With you can only do one band, or is it just
no, they,
your five they, favorite albums?
They usually say like 10.
Right.
Or 10. Desert Island Disc, when they used to have on, also on ZLX, they used to have like a radio show that was formatted like that. They're like, these Desert Island Discs. And they would have a disc jockey pick like 10 albums that they would.
Right, yeah, that you, if you had, if you were stranded on a,
you could only left you yeah. of all the music, and actually that would be a pretty good challenge to do now, because since hip hop and stuff has come out, like, but yeah, only 10 albums of all of music.
But people don't listen to albums anymore, I guess. So. I mean, the kids today, maybe they do. What do I know?
The kids today, but yeah, I guess you could pick like something like.
Could you pick like
the maybe somebody would. Pick like Beethoven's Fifth or something. No, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You pick like something from all of music. So,
but there's always somebody on Facebook who's like, I just want the, you know, one. You know what I mean? Like, there's someone always kind of like someone puts that out on Facebook, and then someone, some dickhead, is always like answering like, I want all the Beatles. You know, like, or whatever. You know what I mean? They don't put any thought into it, or there no.
Oh,
you know
right, I mean? Right.
Like,
right.
There's always some jerk.
Yeah. I wasn't saying that, but
I know you weren't.
I would be happy if that was for some like EMP blasted out all the music and no, there was no other music that existed ever.
And if it was just the Who, you'd be okay.
Oh shit. Man, like my headphones went away. So you keep talking.
Oh, all right. Well, welcome to the League of Ordinary Gentlemen Rock and Roll Podcast. I'm your DJ, Matt Durson, and we're going to be talking about the Who and apple scrumping.
I'm back now.
Okay, good.
Right. My headphones disconnected from my computer. Anyways, like, cut all that out, whatever that was.
Well, I cut out a little bit of it, but some of it was gold, Jerry, gold.
Mm. Anyways, okay, go.
No, it's fine. I was just joking that it became the Rock and Roll Podcast for a little bit there. But let's go over, because I have a comic book thing. I got a couple of comic book things,
and a question about like how we think about heroes of and superheroes in comics from the 90s and how they translate to now.
Is this what we're? Is this coming off of last week's podcast?
It wasn't even inspired by that. It was something different. But you go ahead. You're bursting over there.
All right, let me start with one thing because I find really funny, and I know you find, you always point out that I get into the sort of the industry stuff sometimes and what sells.
You do,
whatever. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
sex does sell,
yeah, but also comic books sell. So do you remember, you might remember, a couple of months ago on this podcast I talked about Captain Marvel number 8.
Yes.
Sold out. I went to the store early. Like, I went, because I don't have a job, I went early in the day, and it was gone. Because they're introducing this new character called Star. And Star was basically, like, very similar to Captain Marvel. Mm-hmm. So everybody was like, so all the speculators went out and bought Captain Marvel number 8. Because they thought, oh, a new character. This could be worth some money someday.
That's like when everybody bought the first appearance of Dr. Aphra in Star Wars.
Right.
It was like, this is going to be so important.
Right.
So important.
Yeah. And that stuff people do. They buy those up. So anyway, I had to get a second printing of Captain Marvel number 8.
Mm.
Not a big deal to me because I was just reading it. You know, I mean, I don't, whatever. I would have just sold the other one, you know, so it's a difference.
You can sometimes unload a second printing on somebody.
That's true, because the second printings usually have a smaller print run. So, interesting. Anyway, so now we are on issue 10, and issue 10 comes out, and Star, the identity of Star is revealed. Star is actually a villain, and she actually is a character that we've already seen. This before, back in Captain Marvel number 1. Maybe this is 11. It doesn't matter. Anyway, the issue that of Captain Marvel that came out this week was revealed who Star is. And Star is a character that we saw in Captain Marvel number 1, like, you know, about a year ago or so.
Yeah.
So, and it was just this reporter woman that was doing a story on Captain Marvel and followed her around and then got in trouble and Captain Marvel saved her and blah, blah. So then she went and went through this process and got powers and now she's a bad guy. So here's the funny thing. Now, all those speculators who bought Captain Marvel number 8 thinking, oh, the first appearance of this character. Is it really the first appearance? Or is issue 1 the first appearance?
Right. Well, yeah. It's a little bit like, I don't know. It's kind of the our friend Rob Liefeld, the Deadpool conundrum. Like, he was in, Deadpool was in, like, issue 96 for, like, a panel or two. He was behind, like, some boxes and, like, shooting at people, but he was, like, very much in silhouette, and maybe they closed up on his face a little bit. You could maybe see the outline of his costume or basics of it.
Yeah.
And but then, like, the next issue was, like, his real, like, he was in it, you know, like, full page action and stuff. Right. So which one is the first appearance?
Oh, yeah, exactly. And it's kind of the same thing. Like, the first appearance of Wolverine, it's technically Hulk 180. He's as a kid.
Right.
So they have to, like, a lot of times you say first full appearance. But, I mean, there's only one first appearance, you know? I think.
So why is, do you think that Hulk 180 is worth money? Probably.
Probably. I would imagine if you say.
Yeah. Not as much as the 180 ones where he's, like, on the cover.
Right. 181 is the one that everybody. But, yeah, I mean, I'm betting it's, I mean.
How many copies of that do you think Hugh Jackman owns?
Hugh Jackman? I don't know. That's a good question. He maybe none. What does he care?
He probably has it.
I mean,
somebody like Bryan Singer or Stan Lee probably gave him it or something, yeah, you know, in some charity thing or something. You know what I mean?
Right.
A true owner.
Well, it's funny because, I mean, like, a lot of people in comics don't even have comics. Like, I think.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they don't really care. I mean, they might have a copy that they worked on it, but I don't think they necessarily, unless they're really big fans, they go around the history of, you know, I don't know.
I was watching an interview with somebody and I forget who it was, but they just said they're a big comic book fan and I was surprised. Oh, it was, I wasn't like super surprised. It was Method Man. He was on Jimmy Kimmel and he's like, I have like 30,000 comic books.
Oh my God.
And he's like, I bag and board them. And he's like, I'm a real Marvel person. And I think he has some Marvel podcasts coming out. It's like, oh, really? Wu-Tang Wednesday. Like, they talk about Marvel Universe and, like, obviously, like, the Wu-Tang is, they have Iron Man. They have, like, different Marvel personas in their, in their characters and their raps and stuff. So I guess I wasn't really surprised that Method Man was into Marvel comics, but I didn't know he was, like, really into comics like us. You know what I mean?
I mean, maybe he'll come on the show. 30,000, yeah, maybe. He's got 30,000 bagged and boarded comics or whatever. I mean, that's really into it. Like, isn't it kind of...
To be bagging and boarding it, like, you know, even, like, whatever, like, at... He's as excited... We're not as old as him, but he's as excited about bagging about his comics that he's bagging and boarding them, like, just like us. He's older than us, and he's still doing the same shit.
I don't think age has anything to do with it, but yeah, I mean, but do you ever think it's funny, like, when someone is so rich that they just don't, like, they could just buy whatever, you know what I mean? Like,
a little, like, bit, but I
buy 30,000, like, I don't know, it doesn't bother.
No, but
me,
I think that he's just, like, has just been collecting them. You know what I mean?
Like, go buy the first appearance of Wolverine. He could just go and buy one. He could just go on eBay or whatever.
Yeah,
and just buy one and without even thinking. You know, or he just get one.
I mean, that doesn't bother me. That makes
me
want.
But it's I guess it's funny.
It makes me want to be able to do that.
Yeah, it makes me want to be like, yeah, I wish I had that. Here's a funny thing too. I'll get back to Captain. Well, never mind. I guess I'm done with Captain Marvel. But here's, speaking of that, so I'm on this Facebook group because I was selling some comics.
Yeah.
And this, even though not as many people buy.
Some guy trying to sell you weed or something, too.
Yeah, that was another whole other thing. I don't know what he was trying to. I was like, you can get weed. You know what I mean? Like, I don't need,
how about
it's
try
legal
the store
here in Massachusetts? I don't need to. I don't need you to sell me. Like, what are you buying weed? Like, what are you doing? Like, whatever. So, anyways, this is a different guy though. This guy posted this thing on in this group, saying that he came across the opportunity to buy 44 long boxes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from 1950 to like 1990, basically, or like the 50s to the 90s. 44 long boxes. Someone was selling their whole collection. All, I mean, you couldn't. He asked about, can I take out the key issues? And of course, the seller,
like, no,
I'm not going to cherry pick 44 long boxes for you. You know what I mean? Like, what?
Yeah.
Are you crazy?
Just take it all in one lump sum.
Get it out of here. But this guy said, this guy posting this thing said, like, what should I do? I actually can't afford it. And I also don't have room, so I would have to pay for storage. Like, but it's, you know, a great opportunity. And people were responding like, yeah, you can take out a loan and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, dude, you just said you can't afford it. That's it. Like, you know what I mean?
Live
like,
within your means.
Right. Like, what do you mean? You're going to take out a loan?
That's like the opposite of the Method Man problem. Like getting yourself in debt to have 30,000 comics and then have to pay for a storage locker for them.
I know. It's
like
exactly, it's
at like, $50 a month or whatever, you know, like.
Exactly.
44. Yeah, you can fit that in a cube size.
Five,
like a pretty
five.
Small. Like no, it doesn't have to be one that you like need to fit a lawnmower in and
sure.
Or the one that like from Ant-Man when he wakes up in the van.
No,
it doesn't need to be
big,
that big.
That's a pretty big storage.
That's big.
Yeah.
That was like a garage almost.
Mine is 5x5. You could fit a lot of comics in that.
You guys have one.
Yeah. But actually, it wouldn't fit 44 long boxes.
Right.
You know? Like, it wouldn't fit them all. So you'd have to get a bigger one. But, like, you can't afford it. This is it. Like, I mean, like, you're going to take out a loan for this? And then, but then people were like, well, maybe if you sell some of the, you know, the expensive ones, you can pay back the loan. But what's the point?
Yeah, this guy's like,
you know,
going
what I mean?
In. Right. This is why retailers buy those lots and then resell them to us at a markup at the store because they have the infrastructure in place to buy and sell fucking comics and grade stuff and be like, you know what? It took one of my employees an hour to find five $50 comics when I'm paying my employee $20. You know, like they can do that kind of math. Like if you don't have the money to like,
this is,
or even if you did, that would be like a perfect thing for you to do. Like if you had the money to get, to be like, oh, I'm going to get this lot at X amount of dollars and then like calculate your risk and figure out like, maybe I can just sell these on eBay and whatever.
Sure.
But this guy has nothing. He has nothing. He's going to go into debt for that?
Yeah, take out a loan that you have to pay back with interest to, like, have comics. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, to have 44 long boxes of comics. So how much they, like, how many even fit in a long box? I don't even know, I guess. But, like,
I was trying to do that math, in all honesty, when we were talking about Method Man. I was like, how many long boxes is that?
I guess we should know this. How many comics?
Yeah, because I don't know. Like, it depends if they're bagged and boarded.
A long box.
Yeah, if you can search it. Type in bagged and boarded.
Well,
that adds to the thickness.
250 to 300. I think that's sort of based on, depending on bag board thickness and things. So, like, you know, let's
go with the 250.
250, yeah, that's what I'd figure. So, I mean, like, if you have 44 times 250, I don't know, do the math. Here's my calculator thing.
120 long boxes, which for Method Man has
120
long boxes.
All right.
And you know what? That, to me, honestly, for a rich celebrity, and I don't know if he's rich. He's a rapper.
I'm sure he's not.
You know?
Not rich.
He's got a nice house, like, in Connecticut, and he's like raising his kids and they don't have to worry about school and stuff. I mean, you know, but he has 120 long boxes. Let's say he owns a huge house mansion somewhere or in Jersey. I think you said you moved to Jersey, and but he's got room for 120 long boxes. Sure. He's got money for storage.
You know what I mean? Like,
or he's got money for storage. Yeah, right. This guy probably got storage for fucking Wu-Tang paraphernalia and shit over the years too. Right.
So this is basically 11,000 comics. Doing the math finally. But what are you going to do with 11,000 comics, really? Like, if you're just a collector.
I don't even know what to do with my, you know, right. I don't know sub what to do with five, the... less than 5,000 comics I have in my house. It could be 1,000. It could be 5,000. I don't know. Well, I have a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I have like 6 long boxes, and now I kind of have this sort of like churn. This sort of churn that I do now, where I buy a bunch, I sell a bunch, I buy a bunch, I sell, you know what I mean? Yeah. So like the number never really goes up because I keep selling. Now I've been selling so many of them, and I buy like, you know, 6 or 7 a week, but I might sell like 20, or then I might not sell any. And then I might, you know, sell a lot. And then I buy a few. It's crazy. So like I have this churn. It's never really gone up much over the last few years, but like, yeah, I don't even know what to do. What would I do with them? I could just literally sell them all.
Yeah, you know I guess mean? I have about 2,500 by this count. Like, if
going by this,
because I have like a couple long boxes. I have like maybe 6 long boxes, but then I have like other comics stashed in various spots in my house that aren't long boxes.
Yeah, but this guy was going to buy 11,000. Well, he was going to do it too, and that was a funny thing. But and like this is what people collectors do. I know. I feel kind of bad. I mean, this is probably his life's, you know, ambition, but yeah, when I just said, "Dude, like you just said I can't afford it." Like that's all you need to know. Like and like if there are certain issues you're looking for, just go buy those. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if you want to buy the first appearance of Wolverine, go find one.
Yeah, and this is so funny.
What do you need with 50, you know, with 11,000 comics? What are you going to read them? You know what I mean? Like, and I know, they're collectors, and I'm a collector, and I get it. But I'm not going to go into debt for this thing. It's so weird.
I usually read some digital comics when I go do my laundry before pod, and I tried to go do my laundry earlier, and my assistant Amy has my iPad right now, so I had all these comics from the last couple weeks like on the top of my laundry pile, and I'm like walking it up the street because it's like far away, and then they're just like sliding out and like on the sidewalk, and I was like but then I was like, man, it's so much easier to just, all I want to do is read the comics. It's just so much easier to read on the iPad than have to worry about it like falling on the ground and getting under excellent condition.
Yeah, I know.
Especially when you get something like, they're not even in any good condition at all anyways, to be honest, but whatever.
Well, I don't really care. Sometimes they do get like kind of, yeah, like they fall, you know, you stack them up, and I have like a closet that I kind of have, and like some, you stack them up, sometimes they fall down, sometimes the cat gets in there and knocks them down. Whatever. It's that's just whatever. The only reason I worry about it is because I often resell. So
like, you're going to sell King Thor number 1, aren't you?
I absolutely am. Do you want to talk about that one?
Well, I do want to talk about, because I was thinking about it, and I was really surprised.
Oh, good. That's
that
what
you
we
even
do here.
Bought.
We think about them, remember?
I was surprised because why did you even buy this comic? I couldn't figure it out because it has Esad Ribic's painted art in there, and you hate that.
I know, but I flipped through, and I was like, well, the art doesn't look that bad, and whatever, but.
It was actually quite a dynamic story.
Really?
The art was okay. Wow.
The art was okay, absolutely.
Yeah, but it's like the end of all things. You know, it's the ultimate battle between Thor and Loki at the end. Yeah. And like they already like showed part of this story in the beginning when he first started on Thor with like God Killer guy and everything. And the God Killer makes an appearance, spoiler warning, killing gods. And it's intense, man. It's intense shit.
Do you?
I thought it was very moody.
It's moody. Do you like far future old Thor with 3 granddaughters and like? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't care about.
I do.
Thor's granddaughters. I guess that's my problem.
I do, just because I like, kind of, maybe that's this is what they're saying future Thor is like in right now. But, you know, this also could be just the Dark Knight Returns. You know, like, sure, he doesn't need to end up with Carrie Kelly as Robin. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't need to be that, like, ultimately canon-wise. But
no,
he's telling this awesome Thor story, and I don't know. I'm along for the ride.
Okay.
I'm into it. I actually am more into this. I wasn't reading this last Thor that was coming out.
I wasn't.
I only got, like, yeah, I wasn't reading that. But, I think the end of this is the end of it all, I think.
Well, it's the end of Jason Aaron's run.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah,
It's not the end of Thor as a person.
I'm sure not. On. No. They need to make more movies.
Right. Well, there's
a movie.
At least one more. So.
And then you think of Simonson and Kirby and just like, you know, he's going to have this big, long story.
Yeah, no.
I think that's badass.
I am on board with him and his big, long story. Love that. But I just don't care about future Thor.
Maybe this for you is like, it's already over and this is like the coda. Like, you don't need to read this. It's kind of like I'm not even saying that in a bad way, but just like you enjoyed it up to now and then here's the story where it's like in the future and yeah, you're like, whatever, I don't care.
Yeah, I'm just not into future Thor and his granddaughters. But I mean, you know, hey, I'm glad you are. I'm glad you like it.
I liked how intense this, it was almost like reading like a Superman comic because they were like by the sun and they were like fighting the sun and like throwing each other into the sun, throwing Mjolnir into the sun. I was like, yeah. Whoa. And then I couldn't figure out, like, there's one panel where he's like, Thor throws Loki into the sun and Loki's like, ah, and then he just comes flying back out of it.
Yeah, I guess.
And he said, I killed your son. S-U-N.
Right. So
I murdered your son. But did he? How could he have murdered the son?
Well, I don't know. They're gods. There was probably, maybe there was a sun god. I don't know.
But when he falls down to Earth, or whatever they are, wherever they are, there's still sunlight out. So I couldn't tell if the sun was actually destroyed or not. That's what I was just wondering about.
I see.
But whatever. What do I care?
What do you care?
I'll find out next time.
What do I care? You'll find out next ish. Did the sun die?
You remember you were making fun of me because for some reason you were like, this is the second printing of Daredevil number 9.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh yeah, that's weird.
Yeah.
That sucks. But I was like, I'm going to get number 10. And then I was like looking through my stack when I came home and I must've done something weird with my comic bag that I brought to the, or maybe I bought both of them. I don't know what happened, but I had Daredevil number 10 in my stack, and so I read both of them.
Oh, very well. Okay.
So and I have something to say about this because just before whatever you're going to say about it, these two, the artwork is so different from 9 to 10, and I read them in order. I was really thrown off. Like, it's not like I didn't like the art in 10. 10 was kind of like a little bit like looked a little bit like Jessica Jones or like Frank Miller's Dave Mazzucchelli's like Batman Year One or something.
But the
one before that was like Ultimate Universe style. Yeah, it was like really super high realistic kind of. And then they went to like an abstract like blocky. Both very good, but like I prefer number 9 because it was just like more realistic drawings.
Yeah, I hear. This is
but the story was wow.
I like this Daredevil bit. It's very interesting. It's like Daredevil is not. It's kind of a Dark Knight, the movie thing, where he is. There's other Daredevils. There's like copycat Daredevils running around, right? And Matt Murdock has kind of decided, I don't want to be Daredevil anymore, but he still wants to help people. And like it's, you know,
he's like a defender.
He's a parole officer.
Yeah, parole officer. Yeah.
So he's helping people and like, but he's kind of going above and beyond. And in number 9, he like puts on this costume. It's kind of like from the Netflix series kind of a thing.
Yeah, but it's
go
white.
Out and beat up criminals. But he's like, no, I'm not.
He can't. Yeah. He can't tell. But he puts on like a white, blindfold, kind of like Iron Fist mask that covers his eyes.
Right.
But yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's just like
It's just like the Netflix series. And Elektra saves him, and she's like, so
in the Frank Miller
She doesn't remember that he's Matt Murdock. So that's kind of tricky there because, you know, he'd used the Purple Man to, like, tell everybody that they were two different people, but, like, she dated them both. You know what I mean? Like, you know, so it's kind of...
Are you talking about... Did you just say Elektra?
Yes.
Who? So she doesn't... That was something I didn't know. The thing you just said, that she doesn't know that Matt and Daredevil are the same person?
Right. Because a few years ago, or whenever that was... He undid, I hate when they, you know, whatever, but they wanted to have the status quo be different. So they wrote a storyline where he used the purple children to basically tell everyone in the world that Matt Murdock and Daredevil were two separate people. So everyone
that's interesting.
Remembers them as two separate. Yeah, it was all right. It was as far as Ways Out go, that one wasn't that bad, I guess. But,
So anyways, when you're saying at the reveal at the end, she doesn't know that?
Yeah, I guess. That's what he says. That's what I got out of it. In the beginning of number 10, he's like, oh, she doesn't know. So it's a very small part of the issue, actually. But this is pretty cool, though. Then Spider-Man shows up. He takes that Detective Cole North guy that's been, like, harassing Daredevil. But he's kind of he's trying to do good, but he's also trying to, like, because, like, the Kingpin, Mayor Kingpin, has declared, like, all the superheroes are, like, you know, criminals. So he's like, we got to bring these superheroes down. And Spider-Man's kind of just gives him this sort of pep talk, like, come on, guy. You know we're doing the right thing. It might be against the law, but you know we're helping people. Like, what are you doing? So that's kind of cool. It's all, you know, it's very well. I like this Daredevil arc.
I like it a lot. It's like really one of the best books coming out consistently. This is like
top of the stack. And so now, at the end of this issue, Daredevil, Matt Murdock, I should say, can hear something going on, and a Daredevil, a guy who was dressed as Daredevil, who is now trying to go out and fight crime because the real Daredevil isn't around, just like in Batman. Like, he's like, oh, and they've got this guy in a Daredevil costume tied to a chair, and they're gonna, like, these criminals are gonna, like, beat the shit out of him. And so now I assume he's gonna have to go save him. It's so, it's pretty cool. I like it. It's a different, it's very different. Well, it's not that different because it's a lot like Batman, but. It's different in, you know, Daredevil.
It's cool that they're... it's cool what they're doing with Daredevil, for sure. It makes me pine for the days of when I was getting that in Batman. Like, so, give it to me in Daredevil. I'm into it.
Yeah, if you're going to borrow from the best. Borrow from the Dark Knight, right?
Yeah.
So that was cool. Speaking of Spider-Man, did you read Amazing Spider-Man 29?
I did. I actually was... couple of issues behind because the thing ships like every week or something. I read like I had to read 27, 28, and 29, all blasted through those in a row.
Oh, very good.
Because so I enjoy it.
Yes, it's enjoyable, but here's I do have a slight nitpick, if that's okay.
Go on.
So in 29, Peter and Aunt May are having a little heart to heart. About, like, life and love and blah. And she's giving him the pep talk about, like, oh, you'll know and it's wonderful. And you and Mary Jane have been through the ringer and have some wheat cakes.
And she'll, whatever. It was like, he was like, Mary Jane is going to leave me. And she's like, no, she's not, you old kookity kook.
Right.
You'll be fine.
And then, you know, he's got a typical sort of like, oh, Mary Jane's getting on a plane because she's going to be in a movie for like a couple months. And Peter's like, I'll see you at the airport. I just got to go do a couple things. And then, of course, he gets into this, you know, Spider-Man, you know, shenanigans. And he's, you know, got to stop the...
With his long-lost sister.
Yeah, what the fuck is that? Who the hell is the long-lost sister?
I don't know.
That stuff. I hate that.
I don't know what that is.
I've been reading Spider-Man my whole goddamn life, and now I find out at 43 years old, he had a sister all this time, and she's a secret agent. Like, come on. Give me a break. Eh, whatever.
It's dumb. The issues leading up with this were with the syndicate and the Sinister Six, the new superhero, right. the supervillain team with the Beetle and stuff. That those were like hilarious, but yeah, this one took funny. A train, took a different like this issue was like a little different. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So anyway, so of course
it's all about him and Mary Jane.
Right, so of course he misses her flight. She's in L.A., he's in New York. They're talking on the phone. She's like, it's okay, Pete. I get it. You're Spider-Man. You know?
Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, that's which is good, because, like, I was, you know, and, you know, I'm sick of, like, him, like, oh, no, now no one, you know, because no one understands, and blah, 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 and Spider-Man, I can never be happy, and all this stuff. So, like, but she's like, it's okay. I get it. You're Spider-Man.
He's like, it does frustrate me, but whatever.
Frustrates him.
It's cool.
She's cool. She's like, how do you think I feel? I can't even be mad because you're out saving lives. You know what I mean? So I like
that. Yeah.
It's very good. So at the end, he's like, oh, I don't know if I'll ever get the chance. And he pulls out, like, he had this engagement ring and he was going to.
He did.
But they already were married. Like, you know what?
I know.
How are we supposed to be wrapped up in this drama when.
You're right.
They were married already. Come on.
Yeah, I think I enjoyed the previous two. I know you're talking about this issue, but I think I'm just I enjoyed the sheer ridiculousness of the previous two issues in comparison to that. It was just so funny with Boomerang and
I know it was kind of funny
and Boomerang like what did I ever do to you girls, and like they just keep this is Dick Spencer again, so it was exactly the humor that was in that Superior Foes of Spider-Man, except now it's, you know, he's got an all-female gang and they love giving Boomerang a hard time, boy, I tell you.
No, it's funny. Yeah, that was all, and it's kind of making fun of the whole thing and whatever.
Yeah, and then Beetle's Beetle.
She's shagging his roommate.
Randy, and then she's like, oh, by the way, I blew up the feast, and I almost killed sweet old lady, and we should invite her out to brunch.
Yeah.
And then there was like a switch. She sold everybody out to the Kingpin so that they could become their, you know, like, so now the Kingpin has this syndicate as like his personal, like, you know, secret service.
Yeah. And, no, it was good. It was fun. That whole and everything.
All that was fun. And then it and then became
this,
like
this was a little
relationship. Like, it's exactly as when I was like 10 years old. I was like, I don't want this whole issue to be about him and Mary Jane.
I mean, I don't getting mind. Married. Yeah, I don't mind that, except that we've already seen it. Like, why did you undo the marriage, and now here we are just a few years later, you just go, well, let's just have to be married again.
2019.
Well, it's funny, too, because, like, one thing that Peter Parker keeps saying throughout the whole issue is, like, oh, it's all the same. It's always the same. You know, I always, like, I have this thing where I'm supposed
like
to
Kirk
be
not Like Kirk and Batman in Superman Beyond, when he's like, things just kind of got episodic, and he's like flipping through.
It is always the same.
Things
Peter.
Are episodic. Yeah, it's comical.
You've been reading this for 30 years, like, or more, 40, 50, however many years, and it's like it is the same. Like you're supposed to meet Aunt May, but oh no, a supervillain attacks, and you have to stop him, and then you're late, and Aunt May's like, "Where were you? You're so irresponsible." Blah, blah, blah. It's like we've been doing this forever and ever.
Oh yeah, and there was a moment when in the previous issues where Spider-Man got knocked out by some gas, and then Aunt May like wakes him up, and he goes May Parker,
yeah,
and it's like after all this time, Aunt May, you haven't fucking figured this shit out. That's Peter in there. Right. That's Peter in there.
You're even like face to face with him. You can't figure out.
Yeah. He almost calls you Aunt May.
Right.
Exactly like Peter Parker would say Aunt May.
Yeah.
May Parker, are you okay? Still dating Doc Ock?
Seriously, I mean, it is the same thing over and over. That, at least why it was nice that Mary Jane was like, it's cool, man. I get it. You're
that
Spider-Man.
Is, yeah, that was cool.
You know,
yeah.
She wasn't mad at him for standing her up at the airport. You know what I mean? She was like, I get it. You're Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's, you know, this is life, man. But I don't know.
That was like the it's like the issue of Lifecast that I was telling you about.
That's right.
Talking about our life. It's related to one of the things we were talking about yesterday. It's like, hey, you know? Yeah, of course I'm a little bit annoyed by it, but it's okay.
It's okay.
Who loves you, buddy?
Exactly.
I'm your best buddy.
So, I mean, whatever. Like I said, this issue was a little blah, but it's because it's the same old shit. But, yeah. You know, it's not like I'm going to stop buying the book or whatever. So.
No, well, I mean, you get the Syndicate and stuff coming back. They'll be back. I did buy this other Amazing Spider-Man, the Eric Morales? Larson one.
Oh,
no. I did get that, but I didn't read it. The 80 years Marvel things. Yeah. Yeah. And then I was like, oh, cool. Like Eric Larson. Oh, that's not Eric Larson. That's Mark Bagley. All right. I'll skip over that. Oh, it's Todd Nwok. Oh, okay. Yeah. That's so I bought this for an 8-pager in the back with Eric Larson, which I did enjoy. But, you know, he even says, like, space is at a premium here, so let's dispense with the preamble and jump right in the thick of it. And it's a big battle, and like, it's just all like, it reminds you of his run on the character, but also like he has been drawing comics, unlike Spawn.
Right.
Like, he has been drawing Savage Dragon since the 90s, so he has his own style that's, you know, it's advanced from then, but it's, like, the same, you know? It was cool.
Yeah,
I liked
cool.
it.
It was a fun
I didn't read the other part.
They're fine. They're not, you know, they're nothing. They're just kind of throwaway stories. I don't mean that in a bad way, although it sounds it when I say throwaway, but...
No, but this actually was related to Spider-Man 28 because he was like he printed now this is the thing he was like I printed the online tickets out and then she's like Tiger we're gonna miss the movie so he has to like swing back and get the movie tickets but why is she's looking at her phone he can't just fucking log into Fandango and pull up the barcode he needs to swing back to their apartment
Exactly.
But, you know, she's still like, I love you, buddy. Who else is going to love you like me?
Yeah. Oh, Pete. I'll just sit here like a dope. Yeah.
Yeah. You bought tickets online and then you needed to find a printer to print it out. This is 2019.
Yeah. Come on.
Go with the program, Eric Larson. Please come on the show.
Right. No, I'm sure you had your reasons.
I'm sure you had your reasons.
We love you, buddy. We love you, Eric. Just like
yeah, see, even though we're a little annoyed, it's okay. We love you, buddy.
What I'll do is one more thing I wanted to talk about. I don't remember what else came out this week, but I was definitely... Oh, I want to talk about that. We talked about Daredevil. We talked about Thor. We talked about Spider-Man. We talked about Captain Marvel. Oh, shit.
Whatever.
No, I didn't read that one yet. Oh, here's what I want to talk about. It has nothing to do with what came out this week, but I was reading this. You know, they're doing this X-Men thing.
Yeah.
Marvel, you know, they're doing these Powers of X and House of X, and they're going to do Dawn of X, and then they're just going to finally
relaunch. There's an ad for all of the books, somewhere.
They're going to finally relaunch X-Men, like, you know, all these X books are going to come out. But for
make sure to get all five variant covers.
Oh, Christ. I know. This is like Jim Lee's X-Men all over again. But they're going to do a midnight launch for X-Men number one. Oh, jeez. Can you believe that? Like a midnight launch party? If you're a store and you want to participate, they're going to do midnight launches around the country with anyone. And like if you participate, you get free cards or something like that.
Free poly bagged cards?
I think so. I don't know. Just a set of cards. I don't know. They didn't say anything about what was in it. But
Playing cards,
yeah. So you can sit between the hours of like 10 and midnight when you're waiting around not doing anything. You can play some cards out there. But it kind of reminds me, remember we did the Scott Pilgrim thing? That was That was it. That was fun.
Yeah. Yeah, that was fun to do. That's once.
Like more of a, yeah, to do once, right. And that was more of a, because like Scott Pilgrim is kind of like a,
yeah,
like a cult thing, you know?
And there was like a lot of times between like they're released in volumes. So there was like a big, I think there was a big gap between whenever 8 came out and 9 came out or whatever numbers they were at.
Yeah. I mean, and this is kind of like, this is X-Men. You know, that it doesn't seem like it's really, I don't know. It seems a little,
Marketing stunt.
I know.
I mean, it would be fun if you like lived in New York and you're already like out midnight on a Tuesday drinking or something. No, go down to Midtown, get some whatever. You know what I mean? That place is open till midnight, I think, anyways.
Well, everything in Midtown, I think.
Yeah, that's true. It's open late. I mean, midnight seems late for a comic book store. They're gonna have to stock it at some point.
Do you remember we went? Remember we went to Midtown once, you and I, after a New York Comic Con. I feel like we went.
Oh, was it? Did we go there like?
Yeah. Just, I don't know. I don't know if it was late or not, though. It might have been.
Could have been.
But it was. That was a nice store.
I like that place.
Please come on the show.
The store.
Yeah, just please come on, store.
Okay, so I have two Punisher-related things I want to talk about, and then that leads me into talking about the 90s heroes.
Oh, right, the 90s heroes thing.
I don't really want to spoil this, but it's not that big of a deal, but like in the Punisher 15, he ends up running into, in hilarious kind of, very similar to the Syndicate and Superior Foes. Like, he's writing Baron Zemo's dialogue like he's like Boomerang's dialogue, basically. He's just like a flippant asshole to everybody. And he's like, yeah, we get, you know, Jigsaw over there is looking at porn. I'm like, just freaking out.
I did read that. I do remember that.
Did you read this one?
Yeah.
And then they run into Moon Knight. And then, you know, like right after a big gigantic fucking ad for Ghost Rider number one, like original Ghost Rider, Johnny Blaze, Danny Ketch, like on the bike, not with the car. And then Ghost Rider appears. And I just loved this issue. And then I was thinking, like, maybe there's some things like from the 90s that are like really bad, and there's things that I liked all those Ghost Rider comics that started come out, the Mark Teixeira ones and the Punisher in the 90s. I loved that stuff, and I was just thinking, like, is that like kind of the comic book equivalent of like Juggalos or something? Or is like, or people that are really into Venom, like, are they like the comic book equivalent of like Juggalos? Or like,
maybe.
Is do people's personal relationships with each of the characters, like, because I really love those characters in those books when I grew up reading them and like to read them now, but like, you might not like the Punisher and Ghost Rider as much as I do. Like,
I never liked Ghost Rider.
Do you look down and like, oh, those people are like, because I look at people that really into Venom like to be like kind of the Juggalos of the comic book.
Really? I mean, I guess, well, I don't think that much of, there is a certain type, though. You're right. Like a kind of the type of person who might be into that. There's like that, because that's like a type of, like a Ghost Rider, Venom, even Punisher. And I like the Punisher now, but I didn't always like the Punisher. I always thought he was,
it's very not always good.
Yeah, it's not always good. It's a little one-dimensional.
And you could like the Punisher like for the wrong reasons. You know what I mean?
I think that's probably what I'm thinking. Like, if you like were at a party or something in like the 90s or whatever, and you were just having a beer next to some guy who's like kind of like a stoner or kind of like a whatever, and he's probably just like, "Oh man, I love the Punisher. He just like just blows all those motherfuckers away." You know what I mean? Like that. You know what I mean? Like, you could, you could see yourself at, like, in a conversation like that with a guy who's like, "Oh yeah, I fucking love the Punisher, man. You're blowing everybody away." And you're like,
"Yeah."
Makes it sort of like, "Oh, this is not what I read comics, but okay. I mean, hey, whatever. You know, you're into it."
But yeah, like, almost like kind of like pre-movie, like how I would kind of look at. And there's, I think there's a lot of similarities, actually, like in a good way, between like Deadpool fans and Juggalo fans. And Juggalo people like Deadpool probably because they love everybody. And the colors are the same of the Hatchet Man, like the red and the black. You know what I mean? Like, not in a bad way. Like, I feel like Juggalos are also into Deadpool. But before the movie came out and it like kind of was like, you know, a different thing. Like, it was like, oh, you like Deadpool? Like, you don't really like comics. You like Mad Magazine. You know what I mean? Like,
Deadpool
you...
is very, but there's all, there's like kind of a mainstream too. Like, oh, Deadpool. Everybody loves Deadpool. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Oh, of course you love Venom, but I like Spider-Man before there was a Venom. So you know what I mean? Like, somehow I'm better than them or something. But there is kind of that. Yeah, like, you don't really.
I was comics. Kind of like wondering, like, if you thought like. When I say that I like the Punisher on the is and that Ghost Rider's in this and like that Moon Knight was there and I thought it was really cool if you were like, yeah, he really likes that like big dumb fucking 90s you know, like blow him up skull on fire shit. Which I do. I mean, I just do. I think it's cool. I've always thought it was awesome. But yeah, I'm not like, it's not because the Punisher kills people that I like him. I just I like the story. And the Punisher Max is like a cool series too.
No, but, I mean, you know. I've gotten more, you know, I've sort of come more open to, oh, that, you know, yeah, I get that, you know, like, but yeah, like there is a certain, not I look down on, but you know what I mean? Sometimes you
yeah.
like, this is what you get out of it. You know what I mean? Like this is
yeah.
like you would like a Schwarzenegger movie or something, you know what I mean? Or like a, you know, like Rambo. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Same type of thing that you would get out of watching the Punisher movie or reading the Punisher.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Or the Punisher War Zone movie, which I thought was like, that was like a good movie because it was just like, let's blow everything up. Yeah. You know, like.
Well, it's also, you know, it's funny though, too, because I'm, you know, I'm older now. If I was a older guy back in the 90s reading Ghost Rider and Punisher and whatever, I might be like, yeah, all right, yeah, blew that shit up. Good job, you know. But when you're young, everything is like, you know, like a big deal, and you're feeling so, everything is like, you know, it's like, yeah, whatever. Now I'm just like, yeah, look at that, Punisher blowing shit up.
Yeah, blow that shit up.
Yeah, that's good.
But I have to segue over to this other Punisher comic just because it's, I was like, you know what, I'll pick this up. It's Jerry Duggan, who also writes Deadpool, you know?
Right.
He's the Deadpool guy. This was really cool because this fits in. You could almost fit this into a point of like in the movie. What was the first Avengers? Infinity War.
Okay.
Like you could when you remember when like the when Doctor Strange and Tony Stark have to fight like some monsters and Spidey and stuff. So like almost if you place this comic like in that like mind, like that time where like all the stuff is happening, this is kind of the after War of Realms. And there's like all these monsters running around like Central Park and like killing people. But then like, but so Punisher's like, you know, blowing shit up, throw grenades at them, like trolls and like big monsters and like Jotunheim monsters and stuff like stuff from Asgard is like coming through these portals and he's just fighting them. And then Doctor Strange shows up. So it's almost like when the Doctor Strange and Tony meet up, it's like almost that same time. So it like fits nicely in that like mindset. And then Doctor Strange's like, you need to help these kids. Or actually, no, it's maybe it's Rick Jones.
Jones. Oh, that's cool. I haven't seen him in a while.
There's it is. Do you know if Rick Jones would be in a wheelchair? Question mark.
I have no idea.
somebody named Jones. Oh, somebody right. Jones is like, you need Punisher. You need to help these kids, and they're all orphans. And he's like, great. I have to take care of these orphans now. And he feeds them pizza, and one of the kids draws this tree that's like has a big mouth on it, like an evil Groot. And he was like, this is the monster that killed my parents. And then all the kids draw a monster. And it was like, this is the monster that kills my parents. This is the monster that killed my parents. And now it's Punisher's mission to go out and find like this evil tree in Central Park. And there's tons of demons and like Asgardian like trolls and stuff running around, and he's just blowing them off and like taking their like Jotunheim helmets and like wearing it, and like he attacks this gigantic tree. So like, I'm only on issue one. I have issue two. I'm going to read it, but if I just said it, like, this is exactly what the Punisher was doing during Avengers Infinity War. Like, when if I just put it there, it fits so perfectly, and it's so fun. It's like,
oh, yeah, like fun comic. Since we weren't reading War of Realms, I guess that is kind of what we, you know, like what it could be.
Yeah.
Thought of, you know, like
for whatever reason, there's all these like Asgardian, you know, trolls and shit coming around. So it was really pretty cool. And he's like all about like, he's like says something like, Jerry Duggan's, I think, a genius. He's like, when an orphan kid tells you that they want pizza, you got to get them pizza.
Well, that's, you know, it's good when they don't take Punisher too seriously either. That's, and I get it. I mean, the guy, his family was murdered and blah, blah, blah. But like, you know, that was a long time ago, and it's okay to.
This is a good bridge the gap between like a super serious Punisher and then like, that's not quite right Punisher. Like, this totally fits like whole profile and personality and everything, you know?
Well, I got one more thing really here to
discuss.
It's not an action comic, but I don't know if you've been reading the Lois Lane, the Greg Rucka Lois Lane thing. Have you?
I have. I may be behind. I said Amy has my iPad and I have all my stuff there. So
it's very well. It's
a very
series. I love it. So they're going to reveal, apparently coming up in a couple months here, it's going to be almost like not a crossover, but like the Lois Lane number 7 and Superman number 18 are going to kind of intertwine a bit. And they are going to reveal Superman is going to reveal his identity. So I don't know. I mean, I think it kind of has to do with
Bruce Wayne.
Yeah. So I think it kind of has to do with, because the thing that I thought was funny about this Lois Lane book, not funny, haha, but so like, she was seen in public kissing Superman, but she's married to Clark Kent. So people are like, you slut, you're out there kissing Superman.
You're married.
Wait, so, man. So I don't know if that's kind of why he does it or whatever, but like, that'll be interesting. But I mean, it's about time. And we've seen it before, obviously, but I think it's about time. Right? I mean,
right.
The whole glasses thing is just.
Much like Daredevil, there's been times in DC continuity where people knew who he was.
Right, exactly.
You know what I mean?
You're right.
But that
was Bendis too, that revealed, like, well, again, for the second time. Yeah, Daredevil's identity has been revealed multiple times, I feel like.
Yeah.
And Bendis did it.
Oh, maybe.
And
you
now
know
he's
what?
Doing it I here.
I think maybe I correct myself. There's had to have been at least one. But there you know were, what I think? I can't put my finger on it now.
There was a...
Because maybe I get a lot of Elseworlds stuff confused because that's how DC does all their stuff. You know?
Well, it
like,
happened
it didn't really happen.
It happened in like 2015. Lois, they weren't even married yet, and Lois put two and two together and whatever and blah, blah, blah. I don't know. It's just funny. You know, we'll see. I'm sure
Lois Lane should teach Aunt May some investigation.
Seriously.
Says you can't teach an old dog new tricks, you know?
I know. How does Aunt May not... I don't know. Well, they did that thing. Do you remember years ago? I mean, this has obviously been retconned, but like, they killed off Aunt May. And like, with her dying breath, she was like, I've always known you were Spider-Man. Oh.
I've always known you were and then she died.
I know. Yeah. So, I mean...
Spanking it.
Well, whatever, because then they brought her back. So then what does it matter? You know, I mean, and then they brought her back and she didn't know. And I don't know.
As iFanboy says, nothing makes sense and nothing matters.
That's right. Nothing matters. So there you go. That's a good way to close this out, I think, Robbie.
Right? Yeah, steal the other podcast tagline, and yeah, exactly. We're off. I just saw in iFanboy News, I just saw that Josh Flanagan got a new dog. So congrats to you if you're listening, which you're not. But but happy for the Flanagans, or a new member of the family.
Yeah, a new
dog. Like a cute dog.
All right.
That's exciting.
Very exciting. I'm trying to make, since I have all this free time now, I'm trying to make our cat an Instagram sensation. Just so you
know. Oh, yeah, I've been noticing
you're
that.
You're seeing a lot of cat pictures from me lately. I figure I can just make the cat famous, and then I won't have to get a job.
Yeah, it'll be like it'll be Grumpy Cat.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure Grumpy Cat's owners made a ton of money off that thing.
Oh, boy, did they ever.
Well, poor Grumpy Cat. Grumpy Cat has passed on. But...
Yeah, but he's sitting on Stan Lee's lap. Oh, that's what I gotta say.
Very cute. That's right. Grumpy Cat is sitting on Stan Lee's lap.
Yeah.
There. All right. Well, Excelsior. Thanks for listening, everybody. Don't forget, check out leaguepodcast.com, events and things and all that. Everything
you need. Subscribe to all. Subscribe to the Viz Media online. Keep John employed.
That's right. Do that. Keep John employed. And
Did you see? This is one last thing. Did you see they're releasing like a series of books that look very anime inspired that are from the Marvel Contest of Champions game? Though I'm not necessarily saying that's for me, but that looks like a cool launch that Marvel's doing. Started and added. I don't know those characters or anything, but that looks pretty cool. They've probably got like some anime artists and stuff to work on that, and I'm into that.
Yeah,
expand the Marvel universe.
I've seen them. Yeah,
good for them.
Good for them. All right, well, go check that out. Check out Viz, and check out everything on League Podcasts and all of our socials. And that's it.
Thanks. Make this cat famous.
Make my cat famous. Yeah. All right. Good chatting with you, Clay, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks. See you. Later, you fuck.
Why should I care? Why should I care?
Is it okay to scrump apples?